Good afternoon, Truth Wins team. Ah, good title. Make this day good.
Make this day good.
Whoa, or we could
have
probably
said, Jesus.
We probably should have said, make this day great, but good's good.
Good's great. But whatever you know.
That actually kind of ties into our lesson, but before we get in our lesson, let's say
pray.
A prayer.
Thank you, Father. Glory to God. I love saying that. Glory to God. We thank you, Father, for this day. This day is the day the Lord hath made, and it is good. Glory to God in the highest. His mercy endureth forever. We thank you, Father, the production, that you're a part of this production, that many people hear it and receive the blessing of the Lord coming through us to you from God. We pray that God infills us with his total understanding, wisdom, knowledge, and revelation of the truth that permeates from the throne of God. We ask this now in the name of Jesus, the name of all names. Amen.
Amen. Well, it was kind of like our title. Like our title could be, Make This Day Good. Which to me, that means everything's good.
But God is good.
But some people might need to hear the word, Make This Day Great. Because words mean different things to different people. So it fits right into our lesson. Well, I'm reading, Ever Increasing Faith. I was studying it on my
own. By Smith Wigglesworth.
We're in a book club and we read a chapter a month and then we go ahead and we study it. And I'm looking for my page to show you what I did. So here's what I do. I write in books. I was reading it and then I began to write in it because as I was reading it, I came across a word that we'll read the scripture to you. It was the first thing. This book is by Smith Wigglesworth, an old-time evangelist.
A great evangelist.
He says, and then the title of it is Chapter 2, Deliverance to the Captives. And so we'll read what it says, and then we'll go over. Because I think sometimes when we read stuff, it's written, and what we need to do to apply it to our life, we need to know what the meaning is and what we're going to apply and what we should be doing. So we'll read you the scripture and see if there's any triggers for you before I tell you what triggered me.
It says in Luke 4:18-19, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
Right, and so I went, bruised. He's supposed to set the captives free who are bruised. And I'm thinking, well, a bruise is, well, to me, a bruise normally
is just
when
a dark spot where your skin
right,
you hit your hand. Trauma.
Right, you bump something too hard and it causes a bruise. So I'm going, why would I want to be set free from a bruise?
Because the system is already set up to let us free of bruises.
What could this mean? So I thought, well, I need to study this a little more if I'm going to figure out what this means. So I went to Strong's Concordance, and this is what it happens when you press on the word bruised in the concordance for the Greek. It means to crush. What word it is, it's in Greek, it's 2352 of the Greek, and they show you the Greek there. And I thought it was easiest to show you what was there. So now I know that the word not only means bruised, but crushed. So he wants to set those who are crushed.
Crushed spiritually, soulishly, or physically.
Right. So then I went on and thought, well,
or financially.
Well, I went back because we started off with Luke, but we know that if you read all of the chapter of Luke, what happens is Jesus is anointed and filled with the Holy Spirit. He goes out and has the temptation, and then He comes back in. He goes in the synagogue. He opens the Torah and reads. And this is what he reads.
He reads.
And it's kind of interesting because Luke has it say bruised. Now we're going to look and see where it originally
says,
came from.
It's from in Isaiah 61.
Right. So let's see what it says.
Yeah, in Isaiah 61:1, the good news of salvation. The Spirit of the Lord. Now, Jesus standing up there, they pull the Torah out, the Torah, and they roll and give him that position. I don't know why they did. The Lord God made it happen. Let's say it that way. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And Jesus is saying this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. And then he says in the Amplified translation of Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed and commissioned me to bring good news to the humble and afflicted. He has sent me to... What do we do?
Well, we'll just continue. It'll stop
you didn't
in a minute. I turned off my phone, but it...
I didn't do it. It did it anyway.
I don't know. I know it's my sister calling because she has the duck ring.
Okay, duck, stop.
It doesn't seem to be stopping. Well, God's calling. We always say God's...
All right, we'll start again here.
God wants you to pay attention.
Saying in the Amplified, the Spirit of the Lord is... of God, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed and commissioned me to bring good news to the humble and afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted, to proclaim release from the confinement and condemnation to the physical and spiritual captives, and freedom to prisoners.
Right, so here we see it has a little bit different words than bruised, and it uses different, it's like we're captive. And so kind of like, then I went on and went, well, let's go back and look at a different version of the original Luke and see what other versions of Luke say about bruised.
It says in Luke 4:18-19 in the Wycliffe translation of the Bible, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for which thing he anointed me. He sent me to preach to poor men, to heal contrite men in heart, and to preach remission to prisoners, and sight to blind men, and to deliver broken men into remission, to preach the year of the Lord pleasant, and the day of yielding again, to preach the year of the Lord accepted or pleasant, and the day of retribution or yielding again.
Right. So here we're seeing he's saying he's taking care of the brokenhearted, the broken people. So it'd be the crushed people. And he's going to set us all free. But still, do we really know what's crushing us or bruising us? What is doing that?
Well, I think it's, the ultimate is this, is the Satan.
Right. But we can go to a scripture because we can look up bruised in our concordance as opposed to doing the translation that we did it. We can look up and find where there's sections that talk about bruise. So what is bruise? So let's go on. We'll go to where we found bruised in the Bible.
It says in Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed.
Right. So now we're finding out what's he's bruised for our iniquity, or crushed for our iniquity. So we're finding out what he's setting us free from. So then we go, well, how do iniquities occur? So we'll go, we keep on studying because we're just going to keep, we're showing you how we learn things. We found a word bruised and we saw that it was in Luke, but we went and found it back where it originally came from in Isaiah 61. And there was a little few more words that helped us understand it better.
And that was crushed.
It was crushed. We found Strong said it was crushed. But really, there's other words it says in there, the brokenhearted, like you would be brokenhearted if you're crushed. So if you were looking at it, you could put it all on a piece of paper in a notebook. Like that's what I do sometimes, but I'm not showing that. What I really did is for me, I was writing my notes in my book to help me understand. Like on the side, I put notes. And so
and I noticed Annette Capps sitting a page of her notes when she did it in her study. She does that too.
Right, because I think if you just look at, read the word bruised, it's like, okay.
Oh, I got a bruise. Jesus is going to take care of my bruise, my physical bruise.
And so that
but
doesn't...
there's bruise in all forms of right. our existence.
But then we've now gotten down to really it's our iniquities. And so what happens with iniquities? Let's see what the Bible says about iniquities.
It says in Deuteronomy 5:9, you shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Iniquity in the Hebrew is avon and means to bend, to twist, distort. So iniquities are a bending, a twisting, a distorting of the law of God's word to different degrees worthy of punishment. Iniquity is certainly a violation of the right or the duty that mankind is under obligation to do. As such, an iniquity can also be a wicked act or moral conduct or practices that are harmful or offensive to society, but especially to God.
Right. So we see,
passes to the third and fourth generation.
So that's why they go like father, like son. And really what it is now science has figured out it's really called epigenetics.
Yeah, they named it this trait that passes to the third and fourth generation. We call it epigenetics.
Right, and it doesn't really change your DNA. It's kind of like an adder bubble on top of your DNA.
It rides on the DNA molecule.
But it does affect the DNA, so it has a really... great impact.
Forever. Remember it says in the word, third and fourth generation?
Right.
It can be stopped.
Well, and I think what's interesting is there was this study that was done in Sweden with the chickens where it's kind of like an evil thing they did. Like you have to think about it. They took the chickens and they changed the light pattern that they normally have because chickens lay eggs based like normally there's a time of darkness and a time of light and their body gets in a rhythm and then they lay an egg hopefully every day so you have food.
A process of the life of the chicken.
Right, and so what they did is they took these chickens and they put them in a room with no windows and so they changed the time that they got light. Like they might get light from 2 in the afternoon to midnight. And then the next day they would get light from midnight to 6 in the morning. So they flipped it all up. Well, pretty soon the chickens stopped laying eggs regularly.
Because they were all confused.
Right, because that's kind of an evil thing. Like when we're confused, we can't do what God wants. So we don't want like epigenetics. We don't want like our parent is an alcoholic. We don't want that to pass down the generations.
And or then, any other sin.
Or any other
your,
sin.
In your family's life.
Right.
Break it with the word of God and the Holy Spirit.
Right. Well, it says Jesus actually broke it on the cross.
Well, he broke it. Now we need to enter into that.
And receive it and know how to get it. It's just like our salvation. We have to know he died for us.
Everybody has salvation. Every man on earth has salvation today. But you need to receive it. You need to take that active aggression to receive it.
So he was wounded for our transgressions, our sins. He was bruised for our iniquity. So he took care of there. The chastisement of our peace. Because if we get rid of iniquities and we get rid of sin out of our life, we will get peace as we go.
Right.
And
peace is, in Hebrew, shalom is peace. Shalom means nothing broken, nothing missing in your life.
Well, so, but I'm going to continue on. We kind of stopped. So now we have these chickens who have their whole life flipped over. The light's wrong. They're laying eggs randomly, maybe every 3 days, once a week. And so they took these eggs and they hatched them. And they were really surprised because they took the chickens that were hatched and put them into the normal daylight. But the chickens that were born had the same epigenetics as their parents and didn't lay eggs properly. But as the generations went on, like to the third and fourth generation, like the fifth generation of chickens,
they
was back to
they
normal.
They were normal.
So we can see we have an ability to change things. I think science has gotten so brilliant as to catch up with the Bible.
Right. The science had an epiphany that the Bible is true. In fact, I heard the other day that when they look for, like even the Jews and the Hebrews and all the scientists of the world, they always, when the word of God, the word, says something and they say, well, no, that's not the way it was, you know, and finally they come to the fruition that it is, God's word is always perfectly correct.
Right. So I think that's what you have to have. So if, we'll go back to our title. It was have a good day. So if good doesn't mean like great to you, then you change it to great. So if we're doing the word bruised and it doesn't mean anything to you besides a little bruise on your arm, then you go, well, it means crushed. Well, then you go, oh, what are you crushed of? You're crushed from your potential iniquities passing through your parents. And then you realize Jesus took care of it. And once you realize you're free from iniquities, you have a great day.
You have a great day. Make your day great with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit directing your path.
Oh, and another note I wrote, Sam, looking at my book, just things I looked up, because it talks about being blind. But if you look up blind, blind can be, Jesus did physically heal the blind person to have eyesight, we know. But the blindness might be your inability to see. Like we recall the when they came to the Aztecs said, how did you get here? And they go on a ship and they took them out
to the shore
and said, there's the ship. And they
and they had no paradigm for a ship. They'd never seen a ship in their lifetime or in their generations.
So they couldn't comprehend it. So what we're saying to you is have a good day. And we hear little Tippy Tappy and our
Princess Hollywood.
Princess Hollywood woke up from her nap. It's been kind of an interesting week. As you know, we live in California and they've announced blizzards. Blizzards are coming to California. Hi, Miss Hollywood. Miss Hollywood is our dog that goes out every day and prays with me. She walks at least a half hour, if not multiple hours or whatever. She likes to be out. We let her run free. We go to places that you don't have to even have your dog on a leash, and she can just run and be a puppy and do what puppies do. That's my other book, The Big World, I'm reading about, that says how marvelously God made the world. Like, dogs are much more scent animals than they are sight animals like we are. So we live in an immense world, and that book is really interesting too. I went to my Bible study and they did another thing. He's going to go let her out because she wants out of our office. She was sleeping. The Immense World talks about, it starts with how the earth is the size of a golf ball and like how many golf balls would sit in the sun. And it gets up to finally the final big star that it appears we know about at this time, which is the mega dog or something, huge dog, big dog, store.
The big dog.
It's a big dog and it's a
the
huge
big dog sun. Right. They named it Big Dog, I guess.
Yeah, it was something canine something.
And it's like a million times bigger than our sun.
Right.
Or something like that.
But the whole purpose of this is the man that was teaching this and preaching it, he was teaching it in a church, was, but God's bigger than the mega sun.
Oh, really?
So it is true. God is bigger. He can solve any problem you have.
God is
absolutely good.
Absolutely good. I mean, once you study it, you go, it's like,
right.
Wow.
Right.
And we're made in the God kind. So we're just like, we're in the making of being the children of God. So as we grow in knowledge and wisdom and revelation of His
omnipotence,
His creation,
right, His,
we and His laws, we're able to not only benefit from God, we are able to communicate with God as humans, like human to human, God to human, or God to God, in a sense.
Right,
because animals don't have that ability, neither do angels.
Well, angels communicate with God.
Well, they communicate, but in a different level.
Realm, yeah.
A different level.
Right, but I think what's important is we can look in the Bible. That's why we're showing you how to study. Look up words. If you don't get it, if you're thinking, why do I want to be set free from my bruise? You study.
We find that it's bigger than just a bruise on your skin.
Right, and the blind might be blind mentally, not just physically.
Jesus talked about, he did it in parables. He spoke in parables. He said that, he talked about seeing and hearing, and if, the people that, they couldn't comprehend, so they couldn't hear. Or they couldn't comprehend because they couldn't see.
Well, and if we look at the story, because I was just reading, it's about God, and it was about Abraham. It's a book. It's not the Bible. But it was telling his journey, and he's told he's going to have a child, but then he gives his wife away to a king. And luckily...
And another thing that popped in my mind...
God takes care of it, though.
God takes care of it. He's always there. Like today, He's going to take care of it, even though we see that the devil's trying to put a lot of pressure on the world right now. But God's in control. He may be a little, we might say, well, let's get her done. But God has a perfect time. So and just like when Jesus was on the ship and they were going across the Sea of Galilee, he's told them when he got in the ship, he told the disciples, we're going to go to the other side. The word of God said, we're going to the other side. Well, then obviously the storm came up and the ship's, and he's asleep. He's not concerned. And the disciples came to him, aren't you worried that we're going to sink? Well, he already said, we're going to the other side. The devil can't go, he can try, but he can't ultimately take the word of God and throw it to the ground.
Right. Well, so the journey really with Abraham was quite a bit longer because then Sarah gives him her maid and she has a kid that way, which isn't the way. And then lots of things happen. But finally, Abraham, as he grows, like we grow, you get to know God better. Instead of just hearing about him, you experience him. And then when he goes to save Lot, he takes only 300 men to fight against four kings. And then he gets all the loot or the bounty, and he won't take it because he doesn't want anyone to think anyone...
That somebody else made him rich.
Besides,
only God makes us rich.
Right, and he even at the very end, he has a covenant, and he's willing to really sacrifice his son because he trusts God fully. He knows God fully. He knows God...
He has grown to the point that...
If God said to do it, the
ultimate in his life.
Right, God said to do it, it'll all be perfect. And we have to get to the purpose.
That's why we say, we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. We're blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessed in the field, blessed in the city. Whatsoever we do, we are the doer of the words of the Lord.
Well, right, because I knew a woman who, long ago, she was talking about tithing, and she said, well, God knows I'd tithe if I had money. But the Bible doesn't say to tithe and give if you have money. I don't even know that you would have to tithe. It's really the giving spirit. Given will be given unto you.
Meek.
Right. But if she had given, God would give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto you. That's when you trust God. You do what God said. You don't go, oh.
Yeah. Somebody today that really is an example of being a meek person is Ben Carson.
Right. You should listen to him on YouTube.
I mean, it's unbelievable all the blessing God has put on him, and he's become notoriety. He says, I'm sure, he says that it, all the things, I mean, because I was on my own way and I wasn't doing right. But then when I got the revelation of God being the source of all supply and being able to walk in the life of the Spirit, and he became excellent.
Right.
And he is an excellent. I mean, everybody wants to promote him in fact, he ran for the President of the United States.
Well, and he was the Secretary of Housing, I believe. And he changed the housing and made it much better.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
God blessed him by
giving
great
him wisdom.
Management.
By wisdom, you'll get wisdom. So with all that, I would just encourage you to study and not just listen to stuff if you don't, like, really listen and go, oh, he could set us free from our bruises. And you're kind of going, if you don't know what it is, go figure out what he set you free, because knowing you're set free from bruises won't probably do much for your life, I don't think, unless you bruise a lot, but probably not. So go study and learn, like find a scripture, dissect it, go to your Strong's, go to your regular dictionary, look up what iniquities are, look up everything. Yeah. And look up other verses in the Bible that say bruised and see how it fits in.
Yeah, use the Strong's as a tool to get the right tool out of the toolbox.
Or use your concordance, probably, or in the back of, there's a table of contents, maybe, not the table of contents, it's at the back, like, you can look up, at least in my Bible, you can look up words and it will tell you, oh, it's here in the Old Testament, it's here in the New Testament, see how they all relate, because it's all one big story.
Right, and God's word is forever settled in heaven, and the word that humans have said that we establish it here on earth. So we establish it by knowing the truth, and the truth shall set us free.
Right.
That's what our truth program wins. Is called.
Truth wins.
You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Right.
Or make you free.
Right.
If you adhere to the truth.
So we're telling you all to have a good day or a great day. And
we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord.
To press like and subscribe, comment of all the great things that are happening, ask questions, tell your miracles from your healings, tell us everything in the comments. We love comments. We've learned from people giving us comments, and we appreciate them. We appreciate all of you sharing with your friends and loved ones, and we'll see you again next week. Anything else?
Truth wins.
Let's see.
Truth wins.
I'm trying to find. I am the navigator of this thing, and I was trying to find.
Engineer.
I'm trying to find the stop. So we'll say again, like and subscribe, and we'll see you next week.